Today we're learning the Sicha in Parshas Ve'eschanan in Chelek Yudalad, the second Sicha. So there are two very fundamental mitzvahs in this parasha, the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now Shema is twice a day, Pa'amayim, and Shachris and Arvis. There is a mitzvah at each time. The question of the discussion amongst the commentaries who have the Sefer HaMitzvahs or Sefer HaChinuch, or the different commentaries who codify all the mitzvahs, are these two times actually two separate mitzvahs or one? And ultimately, we see that it's counted as one in Sefer HaMitzvahs, but there's two separate parts of the mitzvah, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So clearly this is a mitzvah that is man grama, that is time bound. And therefore we say the brachas of Shema, which although they're not actually connected to Shema, but it's the bracha that we say before and after. And as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that it's a preparation for how we're going to actually build up the level to say Shema with the proper kavana. So it's two separate times that we say Shema and the brachas before. On the other hand, Torah is different in that it's not divided into separate obligations or chiyuvim for day and night. It's one obligation that stretches through consistently all times, day and night. V'hagisa b'yayimam v'layla. So Birchas HaTorah we actually only say once in the day. Even if you're learning intermittently, you don't have to say a bracha again, because it's one long chiyuv that extends throughout the day, and there's no hefsek considered. And how do we fulfill the mitzvah? Min hadin, you could say, even if you only learn a little, you still have fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And we say the bracha every day as it's part of Birchas HaShachar. So that's the way it seems to be. You have Kriya Shema, you have Torah. Kriya Shema is twice a day. Torah is one long obligation. But the Rebbe asks the question, he says, really, but the concept itself of what Kriya Shema is and the concept of Torah, it would seem to be that it should be opposite. Because L'chora, seemingly, Talmud Torah is a concept that's connected actually to Havana and Hasaga, that I have to understand and I have to grasp Torah. That's part of the obligation, especially in Torah Shebaal Peh. It says you did not fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah if you don't understand, and you wouldn't actually be able to make a bracha. So we're told that there's a difference in understanding depending on different times of day. And it would seem to be a reasonable svara, a reasonable idea to connect the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to a framework of time and to the divisions of time, being that there's a difference in the way I might understand Torah at a different time of day or night. As it says in the Medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he know when it was day or night? And it says that when Hashem taught in Mikra, the Pasuk, he knew it was day. And when Hashem taught in the Mishnah, then he knew it was night. So we're saying that in the giving of the Torah, there's a change in the learning connected to the change of time, if it's day or night. As opposed to the mitzvah of Shema, what's the concept of Shema? The whole idea is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, that I accept the yoke of heaven and I accept the concept of the Yichud, the unity of Hashem in the world, which is a constant reminder for each and every Jew. It's a chayva tamidis. It's a constant obligation that I always accept the yoke of heaven. So really logically you would say, well, why does there have to be a difference or a division in the morning and at night, if it's a chayva tamidis, if it's an ongoing obligation. So we have here Shema and Talmud Torah, which seem to be a question. Which one is ongoing? Which one has a division of day and night? Why is it that Shema has two separate times where we say a bracha as opposed to Torah? So the Rebbe says to explain. The life of a person or the life in the world is divided into chunks of time, which those chunks of time are days. What makes a complete day? Vayihi erev, vayihi boker, yom echad, that you have a night and you have a day, and that's what makes the whole day complete. And this is what we see in the essential purpose of man's avoda in the world. What is the purpose? What is a human being's job? Is to make a dir b'tachtonim. in the world that we say this is Hashem's dwelling place. This does not mean to negate the mitzias of the world and to say the world doesn't exist and I'm going to float on a higher plane. No, to actually take this lowest world, the lowest of all the worlds, as it seems, that it seems to have its own mitzias, it has its own entity, it has its own existence, and to make it a dwelling place for Hashem. That this is the reality that we should feel, that the whole essence is really where Hashem is. This is the true revelation of the oneness of Hashem, that in this low physical world, I bring out the revelation of Hashem. Now this is hinted at in when we say Vayehi Erev and Vayehi Baker Yom Echad, that it's one day. The Kavana is to connect and bring the evening, the darkness, the lowness of the world together, unified and united with morning, light, and the Elyonim, the above. That we're connecting the lowest of the low, that there's nothing lower below it, to the highest of the high. And then it becomes Yom Echad. As we say, when we say Hashem Echad, and we have to keep in mind that the Aleph is one Hashem, the Ches is the eight heavens, the seven heavens and the one earth, and the Dalet is the four directions. And it specifically says, the stress of the word Echad, as opposed to Yachid, that Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Yachid, that it's not that Hashem is simply the only one, but it's Echad, that everything is all the Metzias of the night, of the day, of everything. It is all completely one true essence of Hashem. And this is the Avodah of Shema, to reveal that oneness of Hashem in the world. Because the world, Olam, is the Lashon of Helam, of hiddenness. And, you know, we don't necessarily see or feel Hashem in this hiddenness. So our job is to show that Hashem is His essence. That's what the world really is, the essence of Hashem. So therefore, the Rebbe says, given that this is the job, so Shema is found, we say it at two times of the day and the night. So it's not the point to emphasize the difference or the separateness that there's one part of the world that's day and there's one part of the world that's night. Rather, it's to take these two opposites of day and night and unite them into Yom Echad, to reveal that although it might seem that they're separate, to really reveal that it's the unity of the world, that this is all one entity of Hashem's essence. As opposed to Masha'en Kein Teira, is not grasped by the inyanim of the world. It's not held in all the ups and downs and day and night of the world. It's mislabish, it's enclothed in the world, but it does not have a connection to the lowness of the world. Torah is above the limitations. It's above any changes that come about in the world. And even after it comes down to the level that a human being, that his thought and speech can grasp Torah, but the darkness of the world does not hide Torah at all. It is completely above all of the stuff that's going on in the world. Like it says, my words, says Hashem says, my words like words of fire, they're like fire, which is not makabel tuma. There is no way that the words of Torah can in any way be made impure or pulled down by the world. It's completely above. From the perspective of Torah, the existence of the world as a separate entity is not seen. So the chiyuv of learning Torah doesn't have any boundaries of day and night, because at all times, from the perspective of Torah, this is what it is. Torah, the words of Torah are above any kind of impurity or anything like that. As opposed to Shema, where I'm trying to bring about the unity, I have to recognize that there's all these different components that seem to be there hiding on the essence of Hashem, and my job is to unify them and bring them together. So we're going back to the idea that Shema has a time in the morning and a time in the evening. They're two separate and distinct parts of the mitzvah, as opposed to Torah, which is one long obligation, which is consistent throughout, whether it's day or night or any time, and it's not affected and impacted by the world. The Rebbe says even further, a second way to look at it is that, as we said, the concept of Shema is to accomplish, to show the achdus of Hashem in the world. So our job is not simply to reveal to the world, here is the achdus of Hashem, and, oh, let's show that we are really batel b'metzius, that really the world doesn't exist, really we're all part of Hashem. So our job is not to reveal it, our job is to actually accomplish this bittul. We actually have to make it happen that the world taka realizes and feels that we are completely batel to Hashem. And what does a man do? We are mamlech Hashem, we crown Hashem in this world. So we're given that this accomplishment of the bittul of the world is dependent on the avodah of each person, of each man. So it's inevitable that there are going to be differences in the level of bittul that occurs in the world, since not all times are equal in man's avodah. Adrabba, just the opposite. There are times in true avodah we have to go mechayil el chayil, and here, this is the Rebbe's, always his call, that our job is to go from strength to strength, to always increase. So clearly, there will be times that we're lower because we have to be able to increase. So it's understood that every level is constantly going up. And the Rebbe says, so you have Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis, it's light as day, right? It, compared to the previous evening, I went up in level, it's so light. But we have to feel it's not enough. I have to go higher. And when I'm at that feeling, when I have to go higher, I have to realize it's like night because I have to reach to the day. So the Rebbe says we have to recognize that there's night and day, because when it's night, I have to feel like I have to go higher, that's day. And when it's light as day, I have to say, oh, this is not enough, I have to go higher. So I have to always have that mindset of that we're going to go mechayil al chayil. And so on. So this pu'ulas achdus, this idea of making the unity of Hashem, which is the avodah of Shema, it changes and elevates in the switch from day to night. So the mitzvah is bounded by these times. It's connected with the aspect of the job or the goal of this avodah to make unity, that I say I go higher and I go higher. When it's night, I know I have to reach day. When it's day, I know that I have reached a certain level, but now I have to go to night to say that I'm reaching even higher. But with Torah, the inyan is not to accomplish achdus in the world, since the world is batel b'metzius from the perspective of Torah. So these steps of elevation, to go from day to night is not relevant in Torah. And therefore, it's not bounded by having different times to say brachas or anything like that, because it's constant, the Torah learning is constant. A third difference, the Rebbe says, is that the bittul of the world through the avodah of the person. It's also inevitable that there are differences in level in the avodah, because the light of Hashem is not always of equal intensity. So sometimes the world seems like it's in a time of day when there's like a holiness in the world. Sometimes it's like night, like we say, really the galus is so black. So we have to know that we have to not be affected by these differences, and we have to continue our Aveda even when the world feels dark, dark, dark. Today might be a good example where we feel like sometimes like what's going on? If it's not sickness, it's what people are saying in the world, it feels very dark. So we have to know that we have both day and night, that there are times when the world might feel like night, or there are times when we feel more like day, and we have to constantly move above it. So we already have three different ways where we look at that there's day and that there is night, that we are, number one, that we recognize that there is differences in the world of day and night. We also recognize that we have to constantly be going higher and higher. So at one point I feel like night, the next point I'm at day, and then that's like night compared to the next day. And then there's times that the world feels like it's in a time of night. The revelation of Hashem is not so strong. or we don't feel it so strongly, and that we have to elevate even those times of night into day. But Torah does not have those getting pulled down into day and night. It's not affected by any of these changes. It's above all of these changes that Avodas Adam, that the work of a person might have. So it's not relevant. What is relevant to know in Torah is that how should we be able to do the work of Shema, even when it seems like it's night and we're on a low level and we feel like, oh, how am I going to accomplish this? We're worthy to get an Esinas Kayach. We need to be given like an injection of strength from an aspect that is above all those changes. And that's what it means that the Torah, because it's above all of the changes and the vicissitudes of life, so that is what gives us the kayach. Torah is what gives us the kayach to overcome all these changes and to accomplish that we can have even greater bittul, even at night when it seems like it's so dark. This is the level of Torah that's found in Kriya Shema, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is inside in Kriya Shema, that it's a mitzvah, but it also has the maila of Torah. When you are saying Shema, it's also the maila of Torah. Torah is what gives us the Nesinas Kayach, that we are able to feel above the changes and the day and the night and the back and forth. We're able to go further. And so the Rebbe says, according to this, we can explain the connection between the beginning of Shas and the end of Shas. It begins with Me'emasai Kairinus Kriya Shema Ba'arvis, from what time can we say Shema at night? And it ends with the Mishnah of Tanit Ve'eliyahu, Kol Hashayna Halachais B'chol Yoim, whoever reviews Halachais every day is Muftach Lai Shehu Ben Olam Hava, Shenemar Halichais Olam Lai, that whoever learns Torah, reviews halachas every day, he is promised, he is assured that he will have Olam Haba, because like it says in the Navi that the pathways are the ways of Hashem, and we change the word halichas, the pathways of Hashem, to halachas. So the tzivoy, the command to say Shema at night, because we're always given according, we're always at, like, a mitzvah is always given to us according to our possible potential. So we start from the lower level at night. That means everybody has the possibility to do that mitzvah. We don't start from the higher expectation, but from the lower expectation at night. And that kayach comes from Torah, which is above the changes. So the kayach that I have to say Shema at night comes from Torah. And then that kayach enables me to go further and further. And that kayach comes from Torah, which is above change. It says b'chol yom, kol hashen alachas b'chol yom, that he says reviews halacha and reviews Torah every day, consistently, ongoing. And the stress is on halacha specifically, because the truth of all the concepts of Torah learning, where does ultimately come out? Where do I see the outcome? Is in the halacha. So it means all the shaklavatari and the pilpul, and you know, we say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim and shivim panim la'Torah and so on. All of that, where does it like coalesce? Where do we see it come out? It to fruition. Halacha is the one psak and the maskana, the final resolution of all of the discussion. Without any changes and turnabouts, that consistent review of halacha every day is what gives us the kayach to say Kriya Shema Ba'arvis and to go on to saying Kriya Shema on the next level, Kriya Shema in the day. So this is a very beautiful discussion about what our job is when we say Kriya Shema. We shouldn't just be rattling off the words. We should really recognize that we're actually doing a great mitzvah of bringing about the unity of Hashem in the world. And the kayach that we have to do this comes from learning Torah, which we need to do every day as well. So now the Rebbe goes into a different discussion, which is a little more complicated. So the Rebbe says, according to this, we can also explain, and it's a whole thing with day and night as well, according to this, we can also explain the shaychus of this last this last section of Gemara, Kol Hashena Halachas B'chol Yom, that whoever reviews the Halachas every day, to the sugya that comes right before it, which is a discussion about Zava, regarding the days of a Zava. So Zava is, they're in Chumash Vayikra, it talks about Nida and Zava. So Nida is when you have regular, the regular expected bleeding, and a Zava is when there's some kind of bleeding that's in a time when it's not expected. And so it says, Reb Shmaya said to Reb Abba that if the woman experienced bleeding in the day, she's a Zava, but the bleeding at night, then she would be a Nida. And Reb Abba said, regarding that claim, the Pasuk says that beyond the time of her Nida, that means that when you become a Zava, if you're bleeding beyond the normal time than when you would bleed as a Nida, when is that? If she's bleeding close to the days of Nida, what's considered close? At night. That if at night she's bleeding and she discovers this discharge, during that time is called a Zava. So what's the connection of this whole discussion with Kol HaShena Halacha? Is that whoever learns Halacha, and so you could say that you're supposed to finish off the a section of Gemara with something good, with something positive, and Zava is an inyan of Chayliak. It's really not the normal thing. Like the Nevi'im, they always ended off, even though when they were saying, you know, rebuke to the Jews, they always end off with Nechama or Shevach or some kind of praise. But the Mepharshim say, no, the Talmud has to finish off, even with Haggadah, that has some connection, has some Shaychus to the Halacha that it's next to. So it can't just be, well, we want to say something nice. There has to be a connection between this whole connection of Nida and Zava to Kol HaShena Halacha, is that you should review Halacha every day. So the Rebbe says we can explain that the blood of Nida is one of the curses that Chava got because of Chet Eitz Hadas. So through that sin, through the sin of Eitz Hadas, that's how the Metzius of Ra, the Metzius of evil in the world, was Nishava, how it came about. It was actualized in the world because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And the way that it's expressed in a very tangible way, that what was Chava told clearly, that now you are going to have, you know, challenges with having children and so on, that's actually Dam Nida, this impure blood, is a direct expression of the sin of Eitz Hadas. But the body of the Jew, even though now this was put into it, but the body of the Jew in its essential nature pushes aside something that's tamei, because what does it say about the Jews? That the ba'atem tiyu li mamlachas kehanim, that you are for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the body of the Jew can't tolerate the existence of this bad and the tumah, and it tries to push it out. And that's why we have a process to become pure. But since sometimes that bad is found inside him, sometimes the person becomes tame, and what happens, that we have a process that he has to immerse in a mikvah. He has to separate himself completely from, you know, from the world, that he is being completely submerged in the water. And as we know, the letters of tefillah is the same letters of bittul, that he's completely he completely nullifies himself in the water, and that's how he becomes pure. So this concept here is the foundation of the difference between Zava and Nida. That Zava is, now I just totally side note, this is like a public service announcement. The discussion of Zava and Nida, the way it's written in Chumash, that is the source for the mitzvah, but that is not how the halacha works today. When the Gemara talks about the halachas of Nida, it's not like what it says in Chumash. So this discussion we're having is what it says in the Pesukim, but that's not the halacha. Please do not confuse this in any way with, you know, what you would need to do today as, you know, a woman who needs to keep these halachas. Not, this is not the halacha. Okay, so the difference between Zava and Anida is that so Nida is, there's a certain time period, and then there's 11 days between when you would normally be able to be considered a Nida. And if you see blood during that time, specifically for 3 days, would be a Zava G'dayla, that's a Zava. So there's the Nida state when there's regular, when regularly your body should have this bleeding, and then if there's something, for some reason, out of the normal, ordinary cycle, that's a Zava. Okay, so a Nida becomes pure you bleed for 7 days, that's it, and then you go to the mikveh. There is no counting of the 7 days. A zava, on the other hand, would have to count 7 days. Mikveh alone is not enough. And if somehow she bleeds again during one of the 7 days, then it discounts all of the 7 days before that. There needs to be seven consecutive clear days. So in Sefer HaChinuch it explains that the Zava needs seven clean days because it shows on the excess that could be considered by a woman, because we're saying it's extra bleeding that is not part of the normal. It's more than what would be considered the norm for a woman. So meaning that the shaychus of the Zava to the existence of bad, of rot in the world is more than what's usual. In other words, we said that the dam nida is the expression of the bad that came into the world through the sin of Eitz Hadas, and Zava is where there is more than what's usual, that there is an expression of bad in the world, more than what already was put in the normal way, which means that through Chet Eitz Hadas, there was this zuhama, this terrible filth that came into the world, this great evil or filth that came into the world. And the world and man, they were brought down from the shleimus, from this high level of purity that they had before, because this zuhama got mixed in. And it's still found in us, even though at Matan Torah, a lot of the Zohama left, but then Chet HaEgel brought it back down again to a certain extent. So we have this mix of this Zohama in us until the time when Mashiach comes, as Ruach HaTumah Avir Min Haaretz, when Hashem will take away the spirit of impurity from the land. And then this Zohama will be completely nullified, and once again, the man of the world will be refined and purified, will be elevated in the ultimate purification process. That's Mashiach. But in the meantime, we're stuck with this Zuhama. So through Chet Eitz Hadas, this filth came down to humanity in a way that it sort of became natural. This is the way we are. We don't think anything of it. And it's part of our world. So our work is that we have to push that away. And that's the concept of Dam Nida, which was caused by Chet Eitz Hadas. And it became part of nature. And of, the person. And we need to distance ourselves. And that's why we have the whole concept of becoming pure and going to the mikveh and so on. And this is the work of every person, to purify ourselves. And we have a purification process, but also to purify the world. And then the Rebbe says, you have the concept of the midah of a beinoni. What's the midah of a beinoni? The Rebbe is, we know in Chassidus, the midah of a beinoni is a midah that each person can achieve. And we have to strive for it. But in the Beinoni, you think about it, the bad within him, even during Shema and Kriya Shema, where we say that the Beinoni could reach this very high level, the bad is not completely nullified. That only happens in a tzaddik. But the Beinoni is like, in the way of analogies, like someone who's sleeping, and he can wake up from his sleep. So too, when we say the Beinoni is sleeping, but he could be woken up, that is the same thing in our case, that the Zuhama, this bad that's mixed in, it's found in each one of us and in the world, as we see in the impurity, as expressed in the impurity of the blood of Nida. So I can sometimes banish this impurity, I can go to the mikveh and so on. And then, nevertheless, in approximately a month, because it says connected the whole sin with the Eitz Hadas was connected to the fact that the moon was diminished. So in about a month, it returns again. So because it's the root from Chet Eitz Hadas. So this evil, it's not nullified completely. And once again, we have the job to push it away and to purify ourselves. And we do our job, we work hard, we purify ourselves, we push it away. And then once again, we have to start the process. It's an ongoing work that we have to do. But one who sins and it makes like a mark on us, as we know, avera gerayis avera and so on. So So we might awaken also before the time that comes that he wakes up from the, when we talk about the nature of the Beinoni. So it's not simply before in time, but it's in addition to the existence and the quality of the bad. So that means when we're trying to do what we have to do before the bad could awaken. So we don't mean before, like, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, but we're saying that there's more, that it's in addition to the existence and the and how much bad there is. So this addition to the existence of bad, that's what the concept of azava is. It means there is the normal dam nida, there is the normal blood of nida, and then, unfortunately, sometimes there's added an extra level of tumah, an extra level of this bad, which is when we have azava, that she sees blood on a day that's not in the natural course of nature, that normally she should not see. So this shows on the extra excess, we say the extra excess of the woman, that the bad increases and strengthens more than what would be the normal nature of even chet etz hadas. So therefore, the pushing away of this tumah, then it's not enough just to push it away in the regular purification process, which, as we said in Chumash, that dam nida is just the 7 days, and then she's able to go into the mikvah. But it needs a greater tshuva shlema, needs a greater push and a greater avodah, and greater work. And so we see that azava, not only it's not enough mikvah, but she has to count 7 clean days. That has to be added to the purification process in order to be totally clean. And it's like, so the complete opposite end of the spectrum of impurity. So there's the completeness of tshuva that can be accomplished from, we have the zava where it's the extra blood, it's the extra bad that's seen, but with the whole process of the 7 days and going to the mikvah, you could reach the whole opposite end of the spectrum. This is the gift of tshuva that we can do, as the Rambam says, that if you turn to one side too much, and you have to turn completely to the other side in order to be able to recenter yourself. So too, so if you would see blood in any of these 7 days, unfortunately, it would sort of retroactively, bring you back to the beginning of the process, because it's an indication that the process of tshuva is not yet complete. Nope, we got to go back and start again until the process is complete. And only after 7 consecutive clean days, then you can immerse and be purified, and you reach that level of tshuva. Now, and specifically, why specifically 7 days? Because that's considered a full scope. That is known that, this, the 7 days of the week. It says, each day of the 7 days I worked, meaning that through the work of the consecutive 7 days of the week, that's where there's shlemus, completeness. And the same is true for the specific individual, that the work of each day, and that is the completeness of that. There's the ongoing consecutive work. So that's the complete scope of tshuva shlema in all of the details and specifics. That it's only through this that you could become purified. You can't say a little bit over here, a little bit over there, but there needs to be consistent, ongoing, complete 7 days of the week in order to become purified. So from this, we can understand the connection of Tana Dvei Eliyahu, that reviewing halacha every day, what its connection is to the sugya about zava, that the Gemara is asking. Since the difference between nida and zava, like as we described above, is that dam nida is the concept of the fact that there was bad is brought into the normal, natural aspect of people, and we have to work on that. And zava shows on a sickness that's an addition to the existence of this evil in the world. And so that means that if I'm seeing the blood during those other days, it's a sign that when the examples that the sun illuminates the world and the person, it's an indication that the lack in him is a sickness, because otherwise there's no reason to see the blood. If I see it during the day, then there's something wrong. But at night, when it's dark and there's Helem and there's Hester and godliness is hidden, so then it says in the sugya that if I happen to see blood at night, it's considered still as dam nida, that this is, it's the hiddenness of the light of Hashem, then it's nida, because that's the nature of the world in darkness. This is unfortunately normal that this bad is awakened. This is the normal time when there is bad in the world, when it's dark and when I don't see the revelation of Hashem. It's not an additional sickness. There's an additional sickness when if there should be more light and I'm still seeing blood, I'm still seeing the negative and the bad. And so the maskana, the conclusion of all this is that also at night, it could be a zava if it's in those days, because each and every Jew, in whatever situation he finds himself, he has the power to do a zaveda until it won't be like relevant or possible to see blood, even when it's night in the world. And the power, how was the power to do this, that I should not see the evil anymore, and that we should even, you know, during the day and the night already get past having this, this tumah that we should be seeing. The power of this comes from Torah. Because Torah is above the world, it's above all of the changes, and therefore Kayach is given to a man from the Torah that he too should not be overcome or be nispal by changes. The Torah gives us the power to be like Torah, not to be nispal by changes, by the hiddenness and covering that enters the world. And in continuation of this idea, the Gemara finishes with Kol Hashem Halachos. In other words, the Gemara is talking about that you could be a Zava, you could be a Nida, if you know, at night, you know, it's the normal course of events to be, you know, when it's dark and so on, that the normal darkness and tumah that has entered our world, it's normal to have that. During the day, you're a zava because it's an extra sickness. How can I fix this? How can I overcome this? And so the Gemara ends with the last Mishnah that says, Tanit Ve'eliyahu, Kol Hashayna Halacha, is that every day we review Halacha, every day we learn Torah, and specifically Halacha, because it's above all changes, it gives us the strength to stand firm in the face of all the negative changes that do happen, and that we should be able to do our Avodah properly. And it's explained in the Tesefta that this is similar to the Nevi'im, when we said before that the Nevi'im finished their words with Tanchumim, with words of comfort and so on, because this concept is also one of Tanchumim, of comfort, that we have comfort and support, that Hashem doesn't expect us to do this job all on our own, but we have the support of all those, of anyone who falls from his level, that the Torah gives him the kayach to be able to elevate himself through his Aveda, up until that time, until the halachis that we learn are the halachis, the pathways of the world, all come from Hashem. May it be very, very soon that our learning and our work to bring about the recognition of the unity of Hashem should be fulfilled with the coming of Mashiach.